I have to thank you for welcoming me to Jamestown. It's really fun to be here, and I've had a terrific trip, and I've enjoyed the few days that I've spent, and I know that we're going to have a wonderful time this morning because we're going to be focusing on the most exciting subject that anyone could ever focus on. We're going to be focusing on the infinite being, and anyone who has ever had any inner yearning, any desire to know why they were here, what they were doing here, what their purpose is, has found themselves inquiring into what is life, what is being, what is this world that I seem to find myself involved in here? Why am I here? What should I do? What is real? What is unreal? Therefore, throughout the ages, people have delved and inquired really into the subject of being, no matter what they have called it, whether they have said, I wish to study about God, or through their own individual religious creeds. They have all really in common been searching for being itself. So for me, there is no more exciting subject, there is no more vital subject than the subject of being. Today, we are going to focus in on a specific aspect of that being, the Christianity aspect of that being. But in order to do so, and to do so correctly, we really must see what that term means so that it isn't just an uncoded symbol, and we need to see its placement within the entirety of that being, what it represents within being itself. In order to do that, we have to really view it from the whole of that being. We have to see first what that being itself is comprised of, what that being's nature is, what its qualities are. Throughout the ages, people who have inquired have come up with conclusions as to what they felt that being was, but for the most part, they have felt that it was a being that they couldn't understand, that failed to interpret itself. So I sit here today with a debt of gratitude to an individual by the name of Mary Baker Eddy, who through deep spiritual study and search and trial and tribulation was able to discern that being indeed is able to interpret itself through its nature, through its qualities. And one by one, those qualities began to elucidate themselves to her. And I'm sure in the same manner, if we were to search deeply within the depths of our own inner being, we too would hear the voice of that being declaring to us what it is. She heard and gave out the fact that being knew what it was. It was an infinite intelligence that knew every aspect of itself and that had the ability within itself to, in our language, think, the ability within itself to conceive of what it was, to conceive of ideas within its own being. and it had the ability to produce and bring forth those ideas, if it had not been an infinite intelligence, if it had not had the ability to bring forth those ideas, surely it would be impossible for us to think, to know, to recognize, to perceive ideas ourselves. But that being is mind, and it does have the ability within itself to conceive of itself as idea. And that being, furthermore, is not a material being. It is a spiritual being. That being is spirit. It is able to reflect its ideas within itself in such a manner that it becomes a very substantial being. The reflection of those ideas together give us the substance of that being. But really, on the level in which I was talking, being itself, being spirit, is able to substantiate itself within itself. It is real unto itself, and those ideas that it has conceived through its mind are not chaotic, disordered ideas. They have a very basic, intrinsic order. As they reflect with one another, there is a basic inner order that precludes that reflection, that enables them to reflect correctly and not just at random or chaotically in any way. That being is soul. That being has the ability to identify its nature. It has the ability within itself to define that which it is, the entirety of its being. Were it not soul, were it not to have that ability to define what it is within itself, it would have been impossible for Mrs. Eddy to discern any of the specific qualities of that being. Its soul, and therefore obviously her soul sense, that enabled those qualities to define themselves to themselves, to being itself, and therefore to her, to say, in essence, I am mind, I have an infinite intelligence, to say, I am spirit, I have a marvelous ability to be real and to order that those ideas that I produce. But furthermore, to define exactly the nature and quality of those ideas, and that being defines them in such a manner that they are always the same. They never change. Those ideas are constant. Those ideas that being as mind has conceived and as spirit ordered are constant, changeless ideas producing among themselves the full nature of the infinite being. But being is more than that. Being is principle. It is principle because those ideas exist within an infinite structure. Those ideas that have been conceived and ordered and identified all exist in a coexistent manner within an infinite structure that is governed by an infinite impersonal principle. Therefore, those ideas always are united with each other in a divine relationship that is preconceived by that principle. It isn't just that you have an infinite being that conceives an idea and it can throw it at random anywhere and it's lost. That being is an infinite principle that has an infinite structure. Therefore, all that it is related to all that it is. Every facet of that infinite being is related to every other facet of that infinite being by virtue of its divine infinite principle, and together it produces one infinite whole structure. And that structure is not just a static structure. It has a system within it that enables it to operate. And it's a cybernetic system. Therefore, it always operates on an input process, output feedback circuit. It is a divine circuit that never fails. It eliminates any possibility of those wonderful facets or ideas that exist within the structure to ever reflect inappropriately, to ever produce an effect that would not be within keeping with the structure of being. And that infinite being that is a principle, therefore, is science, because that being is able to interpret itself to itself. It knows within its own being what it is. It is constantly explaining in its own way to itself what it is. Not that it needs an explanation, I guess that's more the way we perceive it, but it is in self-interpretive being, in that it is always it's always understanding the structure of which it is comprised. And no matter how it operates that structure, no matter what circuit that structure is operating under, that being always has an inner ability to understand what it's doing. And that being is life. It is always expressing itself from within itself. That being is, it exists. There is no way that it will ever cease to exist. And that maybe should give us more comfort than anything, because if that being exists, for sure everything that is contained within the structure of that being will eternally exist. Never, never will cease to be. Never, in our language, will die. It always is, and it always will be what it is, despite the fact that it may produce different views of itself, that it may express itself in a new way within itself all the time. It is, as it expresses itself, it never ceases to be. And it's always vital and alive and new and just giving forth from its own inner well, its own inner being, exactly what it is. And she saw, in addition, that that being was truth, that there were no lies within that being. There was not a single error that existed within being, that being was infinitely conscious of what it was. It was so conscious of what it was and what it is that no place in the entirety of its being could it ever be asleep to what it was, therefore what it is. That being is awake, it is conscious of every expression that life has brought forth. It is conscious of the entire ideal that infinite life of its being has produced and brought forth. It is conscious of the entirety of its form, and that being is love. That being is an integrated being in which every aspect of its nature is always held. That being is perfect. It is glorified from within itself in that it always fulfills an inner plan, an inner purpose. And what could its purpose be except to always bring forth the glory of every aspect of its own being in a very unified, integrated manner, where every facet of its being is truly united in a grand, infinite brotherhood, a grand infinite symphony with every other facet of its being, where no facet of that infinite divine being can ever be lost, can ever not be included, can ever be isolated from that being. That being is so whole, is so all-encompassing. That being is love. But she really didn't stop there. She recognized that being not only had qualities, not only had a nature that was explaining itself, but that truly that being was able to operate. And through searching the scriptures, she recognized in the Bible that when it spoke of the Word of God, it was a side of the city foursquare, that it represented an operation within being itself, that it represented the divine subjective being declaring and being unto itself what it is. In a sense, it really represented in totality the sevenfold nature of that being that we've just explored. She saw also that being had a Christ, that it had an inner operation within itself, that it had the ability within itself to transform that which it is from the subjective to the objective. The Christ being the transformer, the Christ being the operative power plant that enables the subjective to objectify, that within itself it could be so conscious of that which it is that it could focus in upon what it is, bringing out the specific calculus and details of what it is, thereby transforming its subjective view to an objective view, not really changing the nature, but enabling it to appear in a different way. So that being has a Christ. That being has a self-operative ability within itself to transform its nature. That being, furthermore, is Christianity. It has a divine object. It is able to objectify itself within its own being. It is able to bring forth its own inner matrix. It is able to show forth the entire transformation of its being. It is the divine object. And that being has a fourth side to its city, that it has a fourth operation, that it is science. That being truly, because it is a divine principle, can interpret itself. And that principle is love. So it certainly interprets itself to every aspect of its being, to the entire outcome of its being. But science represents something else too. It says the Word, the Christ, Christianity, they're all at once. They're all happening at one instant. There's no time. That operation just is going on within being. That being is forever circuiting itself within itself, that it is truly a divinely circuited being, that its self-organizing ability is always existent and functioning. So that being then not only has a nature, but it is able to structure and organize that nature. It is a self-organizing being in that it is forever what it is and has the ability to transform itself from the subjectivity of what it is to the objectivity of what it is, always holding that and containing that within its infinite self. It is therefore able to truly organize itself, really organize itself in matricized form. But that being has another aspect to it that is incredibly important. And if we don't see this third major aspect, it will be difficult for us to understand being, because we will run up against paradox after paradox after paradox. That being is a dimensional being. It is what it is unto itself. That being is unto its own infinite being that which it is. that being seen from that standpoint is a being seen from the standpoint of science, quote unquote. That's a term that we give, or that Mrs. Eddy gave, to that level of perception of being. Being unto itself, that which it is intrinsically within itself. That being also, though, can be viewed from the dimension of divine science. That dimension is not outside of science. It's not outside of the one being. It's just a more detailed way of viewing that being. It's just, shall we say, if you were to penetrate into that being more deeply, you could see how it organized itself. So that being then, seen from the dimension or the level of divine science, is a being that is able, as we said before, to self-organize, to not only be what it is, but to operate and divinely circuit within its own being, still unto itself. But if we were to take an even more penetrating look into that being, we would see yet again another dimension, the dimension that Mrs. Eddy entitled Absolute Christian Science, a dimension that really stands for the fact that being is capable of expressing itself as idea, and a dimension that says that being is therefore relating to its idea. So on the dimension, or the level, of Absolute Christian Science, the perspective is one of being, or principles, relationship with its idea, with its expression, with its object. Another side of that level, that dimension, which is called the level of Christian Science, is the way in which that level of Absolute Christian Science comes to the human, the way it interprets itself to the human. In truth, the level of Christian Science is only a dimension that appears to be necessary for us to incorporate that which we are, to allow us to find our place and our relationship to that infinite being. But truly, in the absolute, it is principle that determines that relationship to its expression, to its idea. On the dimension or level of Christian Science, we say that it is the relationship of truth to error, the divine to the human. But really, it is the human discovering its relationship with being. And beings being what it is in the absolute enables us to do that. So today, we will focus on the vertical of Christianity, that side of the holy city which represents the object, the divine object, and we will focus on that divine object through each dimension of its appearing, through divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. We will see how it appears differently through those three dimensions, and we will have a joyous time doing it.